from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That was Gerard Mayo this afternoon. He spoke to the media before practice today at about 12:45. We do have a couple of updates from practice. Nothing groundbreaking or earth-shattering, but Javon Baker, who had some trouble at the airport over the weekend, was in uniform and present at practice. He was there. Karen Garigian said he was present in the locker room and dressed for practice. City So was the only player missing from practice today as he deals with that ankle injury. Vidarian Lowe was present with his oblique strain, but did not participate in all the drills. He was limited in practice today. So other than that, it was full roster, everybody out there, everybody participating and doing what we'd expect from them. And what you just heard was him announcing the captains. And the captains for the Patriots this year is not the most exciting group in the world, so much so that the head coach forgot one of them, and it happened to be that starting quarterback, which is interesting in and of itself. But if you missed it, it's David Andrews, Jabril Peppers, Juwan Bentley, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Cardona, and Dietrich Wise Jr. Now, it's not always the case that the best players on any team are the captains, but between those six guys, Andy, this is just an exercise for you here. How many jerseys do you think those six guys combined are going to sell out of the pro shop this year?
Oh, not a lot. Not a lot.
That's, who sells the most? Peppers, maybe?
Yeah, Peppers is kind of a cult favorite. And yeah. If you asked me which one of those I would buy, it would absolutely be Peppers. Yeah. I mean, no district. David Andrews is actually kind of popular, but I think people that want a David Andrews jersey probably already have it.
That's so probably true, yeah.
And
that's the other thing about buying football jerseys is that, unless you're a big guy, you can't wear a big guy jersey. Now, you look ridiculous. And even like the ones now, like there's two guys on the team named Christian, right? And I love athletes named Christian, except, certain ones. But I like most every single athlete named Christian that's ever played any sport. And I was looking at the Barmore jerseys. I was looking at the Christian Gonzalez jerseys. And I thought, if I get a Gonzalez jersey, it's zero now. It was six last year, but zero now. Either one of those, single digits. Okay for like a not huge guy like me. If I get a Barmore jersey with a 90 on it, I look, you can't pull that off. The only people who can pull that off are fat guys. And fat guys look cool when they wear a fat guy football jersey. But little guys look really stupid when that, in my opinion, that's my fashion 2 cents. You just can't make that work.
What if you get the ladies cut?
Well, when you're working with a set of man boobs like I have, that can
be
very distracting for people. And, I don't want – eyes are up here, I don't need people looking at a low-cut jersey. But I see where you're going with that, and it's not a terrible idea anyway. But I guess the point of all of this is, these are your captains. It's not like they left anybody off the list of the captains. It's going to be some big – maybe Ramondre Stevenson, I guess. I'm trying to think of, guys that fans may come to see. There's hardly any of that. And I think that goes to show here, and you were talking about this just a minute ago, Hart. Interest in this team going into the season is as low as I've seen it since Bill got here, that's for sure. And even maybe before that, like since pre-Parcells even, like that's, you have to go back a ways to remember a season that started off this way. Because even Bill's first year, he was a new coach, there was coming off of the Carroll era, they weren't terrible, but they weren't good. This seems different. This seems like the dark ages. This seems like the early 90s almost.
Yeah, and you need no further proof than the two biggest buzzes of the summer were when the Eagles showed up and brought a real football team, an actual Super Bowl contender, and all of a sudden the crowds like tripled and people were lined up down to the Bass Pro Shop, and Brandon Ayuk. And everybody was like, oh, you know, number one receiver. And he didn't want to come here, and he ends up getting the deal for less money with San Francisco. The rest of the buzz is the next closest, the third buzz would be Drake May, and you've decided you're not going to play him, at least not initially. So this is a buzzless team. I put out a tweet this morning because, you know, I'm Harry Hardo football guy to some degree.
That's what people call you.
Yeah, a little bit. And I just put out a tweet that, you know, it's an actual game week, whether you're a Patriots fan or you're a high school football fan. They will all kick off Friday night, MIAA. And some guy replied, appropriate, since the Patriots look like a high school football team most of the time. And I was
burn.
Like, yeah, and you're not wrong. I mean, if a guy's going to line up three times in a row in the wrong spot to the point where the ref gets pissy, that's more high school football-esque than it is NFL-esque. And how many people have you had tell, yeah, I'm going to watch, but I won't be surprised if I'm switching over to red zone in the middle of Patriots games. I won't be surprised if somebody by chance asked me, hey, this last minute thing Sunday at noon, you want to come do it? You're not going to turn it down, where in the past you might have been like, wait a minute, the Patriots are going to be on. I'm going to watch the Patriots. I think people are going to devote less of their lives and less of their time to this Patriots team. And I'm not saying that's wrong. You know, I think buzz is earned. I think interest is earned.
Totally.
And they haven't earned your interest. They haven't earned. It's like Gerard Mayo said about players. Yeah, Brandon Ayuk will want to come here when we win some games. And fans will have buzz and be interested when we win some games. Give them something to watch and cheer about. And you mentioned it. I always use the jersey test. Which jersey would you buy? Okay, Christian Gonzalez. You might buy a Christian Gonzalez jersey. But, you know, there's Drake May, you're hopeful of, but right now he's not even the starter. He's buried on the depth chart. You don't know when he's going to play. Hell, there's analysts that say he should sit out the whole year. Do you want to buy a backup quarterback jersey? Ramondre Stevenson, Kyle Duggar, you know, there's a few guys, but, you know, you look at a team like the Eagles that people forget in my mind. I think some people don't even remember that Saquon Barkley's on the Eagles.
I know.
Like, he's like quietly, in my mind, an offensive player of the year candidate for the Eagles, and I'm not sure some fans have even realized he's there yet until they watch him on Friday night in, you know, the hellhole that is Brazil, if you listen to Darius Slay.
I know. He is not happy about it. Neither is A.J. Brown. A lot of guys on that team, because they got this big long list of, like, don't go out, don't go to the club, don't take money from straight, don't, you know, talk to any girls, don't do this, don't do that. It's this big laundry list of things not to do, and they're like, hey, you know, if you have to give us this real long list of, like, don't ever even set foot outside the hotel, maybe we shouldn't be here. I kind of get it from their perspective. But
it happens everywhere. Yeah, like, I can tell you, I went to England and
we were
told...
a guy just got shot in San Francisco this weekend.
Right. Well, yeah, San Francisco's bad right now. San Francisco's kind of a hellhole. But I mean,
Tank Dell got shot in Florida. Like, you know, the people, it's not just one place or another.
They tell you don't go, like, past the end of Bourbon Street. So that's where the Super Bowl's going to be. Don't keep going there. You're going to get in trouble. When we went to London, we were told when you go out of the hotel, you can go, like, left and right, but don't go behind the hotel. Bad stuff happens there. I mean, everywhere has places where you're not supposed to go. Yes. Yes, we were told to avoid a certain area of London. I don't really know what
interesting.
It was. But I'm just telling you, like, security does this. They warn you. They were in the Patriots were in Mexico City. There were, like, armed guards everywhere with machine guns. Like,
yeah,
this is the reality. The world is a little turbulent right now. And as you mentioned, not just globally, but in the U.S. There's places in the U.S. that, you know, you got to be careful where you go. So, yeah, he might be overplaying it a little bit. But I also get his point. I mean, it's kind of sucky that you have this kind of cool game that you don't really want your family to come to because you're a little worried that you can't watch them, you can't meet up with them, you can't go out and have fun. So I get it, but he knows the bottom line. The bottom line is the same reason the Eagles have Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown, and the salary cap goes up every year. Cha and Ching. They're making money, they're growing the game globally, and that helps the players and the owners.
Yeah, 100%. And back just to the subject of the Patriots and interest in the team. When this game kicks off Sunday at 1 o'clock on CBS, that CBS crew, you think they're going to be talking about Elliot Wolf and Jalen Polk, or do you think they're going to be talking about the Bengals and Joe Burrow being back and Ja'Marr Chase and the holdout? He was back at practice today, by the way, and all the drama that's going on with them. They're going to be the story. The Patriots are going to be like the footnote team that's also there, and yeah, they're going to try. They're trying to build something here, but wow, it's going to be a couple of years before this team's back to what they were before. But wow, look at Joe Burrow, and look at Ja'Marr Chase, and look at T. Higgins, and look at these Zach Taylor and all these Bengals, and it's going to be all about them. That's what that broadcast is going to be all about. So get ready for it, Patriots fans. I know we already sort of got a taste of that last year, but that's what this whole season's going to be like. That
they've earned it. They have a top 3 to 5 quarterback. They have a top 3 receiver. Their second receiver is better than anything you have. They have Super Bowl aspirations. Like, they're the haves and you're the have-nots in the NFL. And you know, And the sad part, though, to me is, isn't that, because you can be a have and a have not and looking up. But when they talk about the Patriots, it won't take them long to talk about Drake May, who
right.
Gerard Mayo is probably not even planning on playing in the game. And that might be the talking point 1A for the broadcast crew. And that's the sad part, when you're not even talking about players that are going to be on the field when you actually are gotten around to in terms of the narratives of the game.
Yeah, and that is backed up by a lot of preseason reading that you can do right now, including this from ESPN. Their NFL team previews for 2024 predictions, fantasy sleepers, ranking, and depth charts. The Patriots, out of 32 teams, ranked 31. They're better than the Carolina Panthers, according to this model, which has them at 4.9 wins. The Panthers, by the way, somehow are projected to have 5.4 wins, but are still ranked below the Patriots, which doesn't make a lot of sense. Anyways, their chances to make the playoffs, a 1.6% chance, strength of schedule, hardest, chances to win the division, 0.5%. So not even a full one percentage point. Here's the biggest strength, biggest concern, stat to know. That's what they do for each of these things. Fantasy sleeper candidate and then bold projections. Here is their biggest strength, according to Mike Reese. Biggest strength of the Patriots in the year of our Lord 2024 is rookie quarterback Drake May.
Now, their backup quarterback.
Their backup quarterback, who is not going to be playing week one at the very least. You'd think he'd say, like, the defense or the secondary
yes.
or, I don't know, something that was good last year. No. Biggest strength is rookie quarterback Drake May. Jacoby Brissett will start week one. It's not clear yet when May will get his turn for the Patriots, Mike Reese. Biggest concern, offensive line, duh. Stat to know, Patriots quarterbacks have the third worst touchdown interception ratio, first worst QBR, sixth fewest passing yards per game since Tom Brady left. Sleeper candidate Pop Douglas in bold prediction for 2024 is that May will be a top 14 fantasy quarterback in terms of points per game played. So not total points, obviously, but in the games that he gets into, he's going to really dazzle. Considering the value of mobile quarterbacks in fantasy, May ranked 23rd out of 128th FBS quarterbacks in scramble rate last year. At some point, he's going to be on the field, and when he gets there, his team's probably going to be playing from behind and relying on him to make throws and create plays with his legs. So there you go. You're going to see Drake May come on in relief. And if you're in a very specific league where the scoring is points per game played and not total points, he could be a real factor for you in your fantasy season. So there you go. Something to look forward to for the Patriots.
That's a backhanded compliment right there.
I mean, really, I don't even know if it's that much of a compliment. It's just
you're
a backhand.
Right. They're bottom of the barrel.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will continue with your phone calls, and we're going to make some predictions for the upcoming season. That's coming up right after Zach Coe tells you what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Tigers 4-1, your final from Comerica Park. Sox dropped 2 out of 3 to the Tigers. Cooper Criswell got the start, going 4 perfect innings before being pulled in favor of Rich Hill, who was stuck with the loss. Sox now sit 4.5 games back of the final wild card spot, which is currently held by the Twins. Next up, a trip to Queens to take on the Mets in a 3-game set kicking off tonight when Brian Baio takes on Luis Severino. Our coverage of that game starts at 6:10 with Cooper Boardman on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lou Maloney will have the call of the game on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch is set for 7:10. Gerard Mayo met with the media today ahead of the Patriots' Week 1 matchup Sunday in Cincinnati. Mayo named Jacoby Brissett, Joe Cardona, David Andrews, Juwan Bentley, Jabril Peppers, and Dietrich Wise as team captains. Here's what Mayo had to say about those captains.
Look, they embody everything that we preach about each and every day, not only on the football field, but also off the football field. And I'm very excited to have these guys, and I know they're excited as well to lead this football team.
College football kickoff weekend wraps up tonight when the Boston College Eagles head down to Tallahassee to take on the 10th-ranked Seminoles of Florida State. Kickoff at 7:30 p.m. You can hear John Mita Perel's call of that game on 850 WEEI AM. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More of the WEEI Afternoon Show coming up after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, nice to have you with us here today as we get you going for the NFL season, which begins Thursday night. Week one officially kicks off between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Friday night will be the Love Hurts game as Jordan Love goes against Jalen Hurts. And Green Bay and Philadelphia should also be a fun game. And then on Sunday, the not fun New England Patriots will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in one of the games this weekend that I look at and I think, man, you know, there's some uninspiring matchups here this weekend, but every single game the Patriots play is going to be an uninspiring matchup this season. That's just that's the way it's going to be looked at by the national media. That's why I didn't get any big games, and they don't really have a rival right now. Like, it's just sort of, you know, they're just sort of a team that's out there. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to make some predictions about not just the Patriots but also the NFL in general. And Andy, you wanted to start off. Let's go with do we want to do Patriots predictions first or NFL, or do we want to go back and forth?
Let's go back and forth in each category.
All right, we'll start with who will be the leading passer in the NFL this year. Andy, why don't you give yours?
I think you just mentioned him, Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers. Obviously got his big contract, doesn't have a ton of starting experience. I went back because I wasn't sure. I knew he had a good year last year, threw for 4,100 yards. Last year, Tua led the league with 4,600 and change. I think Jordan Love has a bounty of weapons, and I think the Josh Jacobs addition there, a guy who, 2 years ago led the NFL in rushing, will really help that offense to some degree in terms of play action and things of that nature. So I am I'm a Jordan Love believer. I think he's going to lead the league in passing.
All right, my guy is the one who came in second in passing last year, and that's Jared Goff. I think this is going to be a big year for the Lions. I could see them going all the way to the Super Bowl, honestly, if they can catch San Francisco in the right week. They were great last year. They seemed like they really were putting something together. They all seemed to like their coach, and Jared Goff, after sort of a questionable start to his career there in L.A., making that Super Bowl and then getting traded away, he's really found a home there with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that that's a nice, high-powered offense for him to be in, and I think that there's a very, very good chance here that he continues putting up huge numbers. He was second to Tua by only about 100 yards last year. Mm-hmm. And Tua was working with Tua, the leading receiver in the entire league, and another great one there in what the hell is the other kid's name?
Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle, thank you very much. I could see him doing his dance, and I was like, what's that? The Waddle,
Waddle,
of course.
Waddle, don't worry.
So that's who I have. I have Jared Goff as your passing leader. He likes, Andy Hart likes Jordan Love. Who will be the leading passer for the New England Patriots this year, Andy Hart?
So we pretty much have two choices. We have the starting quarterback or the backup quarterback.
I will not tolerate this Joe Milton slander, but okay.
Yeah, that other guy that wanted to talk about Joe Milton and loves Quinn Ewers. We can get to him at some point. Mm-hmm. Colin
in to talk about it.
Give me Drake May. I think Drake May starts in week five, and I don't think he relinquishes the job. And I don't know how high the number's going to be. I don't know if it's... So if he starts week five, he gets, let's just say, 12 games. 12 times 200. Okay, he will be just under 3,000 yards passing. Drake May will lead the Patriots in passing.
I'd like for that to be the case, but I don't think they're going to go to May until Thanksgiving. I said that before. I'm still sticking with it. I think it's going to be a while until you see him starting. You might see him come on in relief in a couple of games. I think that's very plausible, actually. But I don't think he's going to get enough starts or enough snaps to overtake Brissett, even if he does start in around week 11 or week 12. And that shouldn't be... I doubt there's going to be that big of a discrepancy, honestly, even though he's only going five games to Brissett's 10 or 11. I think that they're still going to be relatively close, but I still think it's going to be Brissett. All right, who will be the leading rusher in the NFL this year?
Bijan Robinson. I think the addition of a quarterback to that talent group in Atlanta is going to change everything. You know, I've already seen some fantasy people talking about Kyle Pitts is finally going to reach his ceiling. I think Bijan Robinson is a phenomenal running back. Tremendous. I think he's going to be in the conversation for best running back in football when you throw in his ability to catch the ball. But no, I think he could get a 1,400-yard type season out of that Atlanta offense with the arrival of Kirk Cousins. So give me the second year back, Bijan.
All right, I'm going with DeAndre Swift. I think he takes it this year. I know we both ignored Christian McCaffrey. I think McCaffrey's an injury risk. And Swift can be too, I think, but I'm going with him. I really liked him in Detroit. He was stuck behind, I think, Peterson 1 year, Jamal Williams for 2 years when Williams had that crazy 17-touchdown season. So he didn't really get his chance to shine and be the bell cow back until last year with the Eagles. And he was tremendous with the Eagles last year, over 1,000 yards rushing. And now that he's got his own thing going there in Chicago with a rookie quarterback and the passing attack that I think is going to be effective, but is also going to give him room to maneuver up front. And he's shown that if you give him that space, he can take it. So I'm going with DeAndre Swift. I've been a big fan of his for a while. I think this is going to be a breakout year for him. All right, this might be an obvious one, but who will lead the Patriots in rushing, Andy Hart?
It is an obvious one, although I got to tell you, Antonio Gibson has given me pause. I think he's run the ball really well this summer and this preseason. And if there's a banged-up nature to Ramondre Stevenson, you know, I think Gibson could be able to take advantage of that opportunity. That said, Ramondre Stevenson is the centerpiece of this offense. They've paid him. They've said they want to lean on the running game and play defense. He had a down year last year, didn't start well, and ended banged up. And you know, didn't live up to the hype of anyone, including himself. Now he's watching the Nick Chubb stuff from Cleveland. I don't know what the number's going to be because we all know the line stinks. But, right. Yeah, if Ramondre Stevenson doesn't lead the Patriots in rushing, it's another step towards the zero-win season that I've talked about.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, too. I think he probably will lead the team in rushing. I don't know how long he's going to stay healthy for or how effective he's going to be. I think last year, I like Ramondre Stevenson, and I thought he was going to be a real, you know, fixture in this offense for years to come. But last year has me questioning that, at the very least. All right, who will be the leader in receiving yards in the NFL this year, Andy Hart?
Okay, so you, while working with me, will learn that I'm a bit of a victim of the moment, recency bias, eyesight test guy.
Okay.
And I watched A.J. Brown slap around anyone in a Patriots uniform that he wanted to. He was the best player on the field in joint practices, and it wasn't really that close. And then I look at his team and I go, well, he's got a secondary option. Their tight end's good. They added a running back that could be great. By the way, I don't rule out Saquon Barkley leading the league in rushing. And if they can just get on the same page between the head coach and the quarterback, I think A.J. Brown is just going to have an absolute Megatron domination Transformers beastly season. So give me A.J. Brown.
All right, I'm going with Justin Jefferson because he missed some time last year. I know that his quarterback's gone and he's going to be catching balls from Sam Darnold, but I don't think that even if you don't like Darnold, he's one of those guys you throw it up to and he goes up and gets it. I mean, Jefferson's ridiculous. I think he's the best receiver talent-wise in the league. If he's healthy this year, and that's a big if, I guess, but I'm going under the assumption that he will be. I think he goes and makes a big statement and earns that contract and shows everybody why he got it in the first place. So give me Justin Jefferson. All right. Which receiver, now this is the most interesting one out of the three, I think. Which wide receiver will lead the Patriots in receiving yards?
So there's one guy that should be their number one receiver, not based on a whole hell of a lot of track record or anything. He's a second-year player. He's a smallish little guy. And if he can stay healthy, I think DeMario Douglas should catch 100 balls. I think they have to go to him. Anyone was at practice, part of the advantage Jacoby Brissett had at times was he got to throw the ball to DeMario Douglas, and he was the only guy who was consistently really any good. There were other receivers were all kind of up and down, flash here, pan there, that kind of thing. But I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about DeMario Douglas staying healthy. I also didn't feel great. Was it the last preseason game where he had like four catches for 15 yards? He averaged like 4 yards a catch.
Yeah.
It was terrible. So
not making a lot of guys miss, yeah.
No, and he has to. He, you know, it's that famous Wes Welker, you know, I have to lead the league in yards after catch. I catch the ball at the line of scrimmage. If I don't, I stink. And DeMario Douglas is going to have some of that. But I'm going to say DeMario Douglas, and I don't feel great about it. I'm guessing this one I'm going to be wrong at for either injuries or just an explosion from somebody else, whether it's Polk as a rookie or Tyquan Thornton finally putting it together. But I'm going to go with DeMario Douglas.
I'm going with Polk. I had Douglas on my list, but I'm going with Polk just because it's high time the Patriots hit on a wide receiver, and why not this guy? You know, it's not Bill picking him anymore. Polk wasn't someone that was necessarily high on my radar, just to be fair. We all knew about Adunze on that Washington team, and I knew that Polk was there, but I didn't really think he was going to be getting drafted that high, especially with A.D. Mitchell still on the board. I think McConkie had just gone right before then, or was about to go. Like, there was other names out there that you sort of thought of, and his wasn't one on my list by any means, but that's all the more reason why I think this could be a real opportunity for him to go out there. He seems like an effective possession receiver. He does have some big play potential, maybe. I think that they're going to be looking for him out there, and he's shown that he can get open. So Jalen Polk's my pick. I don't feel great about really any of these guys, but he's the one that I'm going with right now. So there you go. Those are our predictions for some stats, and over the course of the week, we will continue with stuff like this. We'll go through all the divisions and how we think the standings are going to end up. We'll go through MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Rookies of the Year, all that stuff as the week goes on and we get closer to kickoff week one on Thursday. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go back to the phones. Matt is in Rhode Island. He has a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, just a thought. I mean, it was a tough series in Detroit. I mean, they won the first game. Pavetta pitched really good in the second game, and then obviously what happened yesterday, but going forward, with Breslow having pitched in the major leagues, you would think he's going to have a little bit better handle on pitching going forward. I mean, injuries happen with the Giolito thing, but, I mean, he led the league in giving up home runs last year. They gave him 2 for 40, and really the difference maker in this whole wild card chase is Seth Lugo, who they were in on. You know, Kansas City gave him 3 for 45, and they didn't climb, you know, they didn't want to sign him for that. So, you know, I won't count the sale thing because you had to get rid of him, but obviously that kid Grissom can't play. So, but he's got a lot to kind of prove, and he can identify talent, is my point. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it. And your subject line said a make-or-break offseason for Breslow. I think he means the one coming up here, since this was his first one. He can't call that a make-or-break, but I think you're maybe onto something like this one upcoming here, and we'll see what kind of parameters, Sam Kennedy's favorite word, we'll see what kind of parameters he's given in terms of how much he can spend, in terms of trading prospects, all that stuff. We'll see how that is framed for him, but I do think that this is the type of offseason now where these kids are all in AAA, all right? They're not down in single-A ball anymore. They're not even in Providence. They're not even in Portland anymore. Worcester now, and they're ready to come up, and they're ready to make it here. So this is when you have to fortify your castle. And right now, there's a lot of leaks. You know, it's not a very strong castle you got there, and it seems to be crumbling right in front of us here as we come through into another month of September. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. With that in mind, the Red Sox start a series tonight against the New York Mets. Another team that's been in a similar position to them here most of the year, a team that's kind of been on the outside looking in over in that NL East race, which has been pretty interesting, I think. You know, you look at the Phillies, the Braves, the Mets and the Braves have kind of been going back and forth over the last month or so, and right now the Mets find themselves one game back out of that third wild card, which is currently occupied by the Braves, as the Padres and Diamondbacks, very NL West heavy wild card picture right now, with a couple of teams in the East hovering around. The Cubs are sort of there too; they're three games back. But yeah, this is that type of series where, you know, you're dealing with a desperate team just like you are, and the Mets, you know, whether you think they made good or bad decisions, they made strong, heavy decisions that cost their owner a lot of money, gave them one of the highest payrolls in the league, and you know, has gotten that fan base energized and excited, and for better or for worse, they're right there, and they're closer than you are. So should be an interesting series with this team, and I think that as far as the Red Sox are concerned, they have to start winning some games right now. I mean, like, you need to start, if you go and get your clock cleaned by the Mets in this series, I could see fans really tuning out the rest of this month.
Absolutely. But the Mets thing interests me because, so the Mets were the biggest of spenders. and then it didn't work, and they blew it up, and they're in a better position than you are in terms of the playoffs. Like, they changed courses philosophically at the ownership level from big market, big spend to, oh, that didn't work, we're not going to do it that way. And did it ruin them? Or, like, a year later, are they in a better position than you, who's been, I feel like you've been doing a reset year for like 5 years in Boston? Like,
the Mets have the highest payroll in baseball. It's not like they reset that much, you know? Like, they are spending more than anybody else.
Yeah, due to prior commitments. But philosophically, right, they've sort of reconfigured the way they approach things, right?
Philosophically, you could say that, yeah. But that's, you know, they still are spending a tremendous amount of money on this roster.
Well, that's like the Red Sox were spending a lot of money at points, too, because Chris Sale was on the books. And by the way, Chris Sale's still on the books because you're paying, what, two-thirds of his salary for the Braves this year? That's awesome. He's getting really
you're welcome.
Good return investment on that. But no, this is a, I think tonight's a huge game. And it's Bayo, right? Let me double check.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Bayo tonight. Like, this is a huge game for them. I think it's a huge game for him. After whatever he went through in the beginning of the season, I like the way he's pitched more often than not over the second half of the season. And if he can continue to do this, maybe you can add his name back into, because he was ahead of the curve because of the stupid baby Pedro stuff. That made him more popular and more notable than probably he should have been at the time. But, you know, you could add him to the list of guys that I know you're not as excited about when I say this season is a success as I am. But, you know, the Duran, the Casas, the Rafaela, these guys that you're building around, if you can add Bayo and Houck to that and say, we have two pitchers, you're like the Patriots offensive line. You need five. The more you can say, I got two or I got three and feel good about that. Doesn't that just sort of minimize what you're asking Breslow to do? Okay, so you bring up some of these, you know, let's just say half of the core four earn a roster spot next year or enter the mix of the conversation. Maybe you can have a veteran starter, whatever, Pivetta, and then you go, we just need one ace. We need one guy to go out and get, just like the Patriots need a left tackle. The more you can narrow your spending or your pursuits, and I think Bayo can take a step in that direction with another nice start tonight.
Yeah, that'd be nice to see. And he's got a tough customer going up against him there, and Luis Severino for the Mets, who's had a very, very good season. And, you know, for all the talk of the philosophy, like Lindor, Marte, Alonso, Nimmo, those guys are all in the lineup tonight. Like, you know, those are their big, those are their big money guys, and they're all playing. So, you know, I think that the Mets haven't always made the best decisions when it comes to how they spend their money, but they spend their money at the very least. You know, they're trying, and I think at some point, you know, enough years go by with this Red Sox team while they're on the outside of the top 10 in payroll looking in, they're not even over $200 million, and you just start to think like, yeah, you know, even if they whiff on someone like Giolito, I can deal with that. I didn't love that signing, but I like that they signed somebody. I like that they went out there and took a chance on someone who had some success in the past, not recently. Giolito's not been good lately, but, you know, the beggars and they can't be choosers, and then when they are choosers, the guy they choose ends up getting hurt for the year, so it doesn't matter anyway. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls, and we got some Red Sox preview to get to with the New York Mets. I think it's Cooper Boardman who's on for the MassMutual pregame show tonight, as we'll take you right up until that, going extra up until about 6:10. That's all coming up next. That was Gerard Mayo from earlier today. Spoke to the media before practice right around 1 o'clock, and that was a question that I'm glad somebody asked. Do we know who the questioner was there? It was a woman's voice, but I couldn't tell you who it was.
Sophie Waller. I'm just guessing. Okay. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Could be. I'm not sure. Whoever it was, kudos to her, because it was a good question, one that I was wondering myself. What does Drake May still need to do between now and his first start? What have you not seen enough of yet? Why is it, and we're just going by your words here, because I think deep down, Andy, you and I and most other people don't necessarily believe that Drake May isn't starting week one because they all sincerely believe Jacoby Brissett is a better quarterback. Drake May's not starting week one because they don't feel comfortable putting him out there with that team, and they think that he won't be in a position to succeed. It's like what Parcells said about Tony Romo, which was, you know, you can ruin a quarterback, you won't have him in the future. If you put him in a position where they're not able to succeed, that can ruin him, and that's, you know, that's a problem that people have. Tom Brady said something similar to that just a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't necessarily full-on agree with them, but that's the way that they think about it, and that's, I think, how a lot of football people think about it, too. not the other teams that drafted rookie quarterbacks this year. They're all playing their rookies right away, but they also may not think that their team is as bad as the Patriots are. So either way, that's what we believe. But if we're going by what the Patriots are saying, which is not that, it's not, no, this team's terrible, we can't put him out there with this team. It's Jacoby Brissett, we think, is a little bit further along. We think he gives us a better chance to win. We think he's a little bit better. And if that's the case, I'm just wondering where they think Drake May still needs to really improve. Where is he right now that is not NFL ready? What part of his game is not NFL ready yet? Because I watched those same preseason games you did, and I think that we all saw a quarterback who's not a finished product by any means, but who has a lot of the tools and a lot of the instincts and a lot of the just, you know, natural ability to play in the NFL. We remember that weird press conference with Belichick, right, where he was like, Mac Jones has the ability to play quarterback in the NFL. And it's like, yeah, we know he was in the Pro Bowl. Like, you know, we all saw the same season, didn't we? Like, what are you talking about? I feel like with that sort of line of thinking here with May, we haven't seen him out there play an entire season and, you know, throw for a bunch of yards and be a top 13 quarterback in the league. We'd all be thrilled if he did that. But I haven't really seen enough that makes me think, you know, he's really not ready. And I wonder what they're seeing, if they're seeing anything that makes them think that.
I think it is some of the stuff that Belichick, you referenced him, actually touched on in one of his maybe McAfee appearances. And something sort of Alex Van Pelt and Mayo have all at least tangentially touched on is like real defenses, real blitzes, real confusing protections, things of that nature. And I would liken it to, you know, when you get your license and you're like a hot shot and you're driving around town and you think,
oh yeah,
this is the, and then the first time you have to, I don't know, go pick up a buddy at Logan, you got to get on the highway and then you got to get, and you're like, oh, this is a little different than just, you know, driving around town at 35.
And then a state gives you a ticket because you're blocking the lane.
Right.
Oh, that's Jerron Baker. That wasn't.
And then you go on Instagram and bitch about him and tell him you're his boss because you pay his taxes, even though you probably haven't even paid taxes yet, Jerron Baker in the state of Massachusetts. But yeah, like, you know, people that freak out the first time they have to merge on the highway with traffic that's doing 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. I think that's some of it. And he's not going to experience it, but he's going to see the preparation for the Bengals defense, then the execution against the Bengals defense. He's probably, Jacoby, probably going to see Brissett get hit and blitzed and, you know, take some pressures and a thumping from that defense. I think it's that. It's that if he were going to, if it were just, we're going to play football 101 for a half a season, that's the rules, like preseason, like this is the Pro Bowl, you're not allowed to blitz, whatever, I think Drake May would be playing. I think they want him to get up to speed mentally and visually with football 201 and football 301 before he's out there having to merge into traffic that's doing 85 miles an hour.
Yeah, you're probably right. The team around them not being good is common knowledge. They're saying Brissett gives them a better chance to win. We all know that Drake May outplayed him. Mayo even said that as much. But if there's something about May that's not ready, you know, like in the driving analogy, like if his parallel parking is not right or, you know, merging on the highway or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. Like decision making, I thought was pretty good. I thought his footwork looked a lot better. I mean, I don't know much about that, but I watched those Dan Orlovsky videos just like everyone else did, where he's pointing out the footwork and how good it looked. Reading the defense, I thought was fine. His pocket presence, I thought, was very strong for a rookie. I mean, he was moving around in that pocket, firing throws off. His accuracy was pretty good. I'd love to know, you know, Mayo didn't really give you an answer there because I don't think he can. I don't think there is an answer. I don't think that that's the real reason why May isn't starting. They just can't go up there and say that. So if there was anything, like any one aspect of his game, I would think it would be, you know, something that I wouldn't, as a bystander, just a fan watching the game, I wouldn't even think of. Like some QB coach would be like, oh yeah, when he does a three-step drop, he's supposed to drop his shoulder or do something. I don't know, any random thing that I wouldn't even think to look for. But in terms of like the eye test, the basic bitch fanboy test that I have going on for me right now, he seems ready enough to me. You know, if Bo Nix is out there and he's ready to go start in Denver, I think Drake May's ready to start in New England. And yeah, that's just based on them, not the teams around him, just them and how they've looked.
If there was one visible sort of minor thing, he still has a weird motion at times to the right. He still drops his shoulder and like double clutches. He does a thing, but I don't think that's why he's not playing. I think they will try to figure that out. As far as the footwork goes, I'm just going to be honest. I don't try to play like a scout like a lot of these media members do. I don't know what good footwork is, because you know what I think determines whether people say it was good footwork or not? The result of the play. Like, I think there's times where the footwork of Patrick Mahomes is less than desirable. And does anyone care? No. Because he's Patrick Mahomes, and the ball gets completed to Travis Kelce or whoever right. the hell else he's throwing to. Because I see throws where I'm like, if I were teaching Tom Brady-style mechanics, I'd ask you to shift your hips and step to where you're throwing and have better mechanics. But the reality is, these days, they don't force that on young quarterbacks. They allow them to sort of play the game the way they've learned to play it growing up through the ranks of high school and 7-on-7 and all that. So, yeah, the footwork stuff, I don't know. I think a lot of people look at the end result and then say, oh, his footwork was good because he didn't get sacked and he completed the pass, which to me is the only thing that matters. Don't get sacked and complete the pass.
Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, the three of those guys, who has the best, middle, and worst seasons?
The best season will be Caleb Williams, and not necessarily the best career, because I'd be worried where it goes when he starts to think he's got all the answers, but I just think he's got a pretty good team around him. He's got weapons, the Cole Kmet, the DJ Moore, like he's got Keenan Allen, he's got Keenan depth Allen, of weapons. Didn't you just pick his run? Isn't Swift his running back now?
Yes, he is.
You just picked him to lead the NFL in rushing. If he leads the NFL in rushing, that will help Caleb Williams quite a bit. So I think Caleb Williams has the best shot to hit the ground running. I think Jaden Daniels, because I think their line is a little bit better, and I think they have a number one receiver. And I think the offensive coordinator is more experienced, whether you like it or not. He's got more experience calling plays and getting things done the way he wants them done. Bo Nix is interesting to me, because I'm not a Bo Nix believer. And the Sean Payton relationship with him, and you know, coming off a year where Russell Wilson was decent, is he going to be better, or is he going to take a step back because he's a young rookie quarterback? I don't believe in his arm strength, but the light air, maybe the ball floats better, like he's in a dome, like he's Drew Brees. There's a lot of questions for me in Bo Nix.
I have questions about him too, but that division, I think, is so much lighter than the NFC East. I think the NFC East is going to be brutal on Jaden Daniels, just having to go against the Eagles, the Cowboys, even the Giants. I just think that's going to be really, really tough on a young QB like that. And I think that Bo Nix having to go against the Raiders and the Chargers for four games is going to really help him out there. Just, you know, I think the Chargers are going to fall off a lot this year. They lost all their weapons. The Raiders are still kind of a mess. I think
still
that,
got good defense, though. Like yeah. The Chargers kind of kept their defense together, and the Raiders have Max Crosby. And didn't they add somebody to Max Crosby?
I think so. Did they get Wilkins?
Maybe they got Christian Wilkins, yeah.
I think they did get Christian Wilkins. So yeah, I mean, that's a tough line for sure. But the Chargers have had a good, you know, a good defense with a lot of good players on it for years, and their defense never actually is that good. They just, you know, Bosa gets a bunch of sacks. You know, Derwin Mac. James has a bunch of picks, but they don't end up actually stopping anybody.
Yeah, he may not need to score a lot of points to beat the Raiders and to beat the Chargers, but I think their pass rushers might get after him and give him something to think about. It's going to be, young quarterbacks are just, they're so hit or miss, and I do think C.J. Stroud set a unfair standard last year that people are going to be compared to, you know, moving forward, at least for the short term, whereas the flip side is true. Bryce Young was on a bad football team, and maybe people feel like he was thrown out there too early or whatever. So it's a weird world of quarterbacks, because the weight of it is on their shoulders.
Yeah, certainly is, but not Drake Mays, because he's not playing. So there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll give you a little Red Sox preview as they get ready to take on the New York Mets in the first of a three-game set. Pretty good pitching matchup tonight, Brian Baio and Luis Severino. We'll talk about the ramifications of that and some thoughts from the past weekend right after this. A lot of people left shaking their heads at the end of that one as the Red Sox lose 2 out of 3 to Detroit, pull their starter who had a perfect game going through four, and generally have just been tough to watch since the All-Star break. Now, there is a little bit of good news, Andy Hart, and that is that in the top of the eighth inning in Cleveland, the Guardians have a 4-1 lead over the Royals. So at the very least, you could pick up a half game there. The Twins also in action tonight. They're playing in about 45 minutes, first of a set against the Tampa Bay Rays. And, of course, the Red Sox getting underway in about an hour and 5 minutes from now against the New York Mets, a team that, similar to you, is right on the outside of the wild card over in the National League, right on the outside looking in. They're closer than you are. They're just a game back from the Braves, as you are 4.5 games back from both the Royals and the Twins, who have not the same exact record, but I think the same winning percentage, as these games get more and more important. And considering how important yesterday's game was, just in general, to see the decision that got made by Alex Cora is one that I know all this time later I still can't believe.
Yeah, no, it's tough to wrap your head around, especially at a critical juncture where you think you'd want to lean on somebody who's pitching well and not somebody who just got there and is 172 years old and throws 80 miles an hour. But
he dials it up to 80 miles an hour, you know, yeah, when he needs to really reach back.
I do give Cora credit in one sense. He made the difficult decision, right? Like, theoretically, isn't the easy decision, or the decision everyone's going to agree with, is the guy who's thrown four innings of perfect baseball gets to throw the fifth inning?
Sure, but I mean, if a guy has hit four home runs in a game and then he comes up in the bottom of the ninth with the bases loaded, you know, you want to leave
him
there
for a pinch hitter,
or do you pull him because he's got a bad record against that pitcher who happens to be out there? It's a game by game situation.
Exactly.
That's my courageous call or anything.
Is he did the thing that was most able to be criticized or most able to be second guessed? He did the thing that was harder. I think anybody can leave the guy out there who's pitching well. So there has to be some sense of conviction in they believed in this, whatever the plan was, to get as many outs as you could out of him before you then went to the bullpen and the pocket and lefties. And did they overthink it? 100%. 100% overthought it. Sometimes, keep it simple, stupid, the guy who is getting guys out and throwing the ball well and has the ability to go more than four innings, I do side with them. Like, that's kind of his sweet spot. He's basically a four innings pitcher, but has the ability to go deeper than that, and certainly hadn't been stressed in terms of pitches. I would have left him out there. I think most 99.9% of the planet would have left him out there. Now, it may not have been right. Would you feel better if he had given up a 2-run home run?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely, I would have.
I was trying to sway
you with my tone. If that's what broke up the perfect game,
yep,
then fine. But it was a perfect game leading into it. Rich Hill had nine. You know, like, that's just, that's one of those things. Like, you say it was the tougher decision, and you may be right. But if he was just going by, like, the plan that they had set ahead of time, then how difficult is that? Well, we're just going to stick to the plan no matter what. The decision that I think would have been a little tougher was breaking off of your plan, right? Yeah, we made this plan, and I know maybe they're not going to be super happy with me upstairs if I deviate from it, but the guy's got a freaking perfect game going. Let's use some common sense here and do the right thing and tell the nerds to bleep off. Like, that's, you know, like, that I think would have been maybe a little bit more in the ballpark of what I'm looking at in terms of a tough decision. You know, like, you could tell it wasn't his call. I don't think he came up with the plan. Criswell's going four innings, and that's it no matter what, and I'm not going to deviate off that no matter what. That was probably a collaborative thing or told to him by people above him. But once the game starts, it's his dugout, you know? Like, he gets to make those calls, and I don't know. I wish he would have made a different one yesterday. I think that was a real head-scratcher that is still now, if this season ends up unraveling further even than it already has, people are going to look back on that one. They're going to look back on that one and say, you know, that's really when it seemed like this thing came off the tracks.
Yeah, you said a word I'm getting sick of. Collaborative.
What's that?
Collaborative.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, stick your collaborative right up your keister.
I know, especially when it comes to those type of calls. Anyway, yes, that's all the time we have right now. Stick around. Cooper Boardman is on his way. He will be delivering the Mass Mutual pregame show, and he will get into all of the second guessing, I'm sure, that we were just discussing there. We'll hear from Alex Cora. He'll sit down with either Joe or Lou or Will or whoever's on the call tonight. I'm actually not even sure who it's going to be, as the Red Sox head to Queens to take on the New York Mets, a team that spends a lot of money, a lot more than you have, and we'll see how it goes. Hoping for a win tonight. Hoping for a nice series here. I'd hate to see this season go down in flames in the first week of September, but there we are. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Zach, great job back in our Brighton studios. Andy, talk to you tomorrow at 2. Stick around. Cooper Boardman coming up next with the Mass Mutual pregame show, and then Red Sox baseball here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
Like clean lettuce or whatever, where you pump the little thing and it spins it a couple times?
Oh, and it spins them around? Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Automatic salad tosser? Yeah, it's, excuse me.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.